How can it be? We'll be talking in heaven a long time about God's amazing love. Amen. Last week, we were in the book of Galatians for the message in the morning. We're going back there again this morning. We were in chapter 3. We're going back to chapter 4 this morning. Book of Galatians, you get over past Romans to your right. And one of Paul's epistles, of course. Paul was the writer. Speak to you this morning on the denial of truth. You know, all truth is God's truth. Men can accept it or men can deny it, but men can't really change it. If it's God's truth, it's God's truth. Amen. In the context, we have the Apostle Paul talking to the church at Galatia, or more than one church probably reading this epistle. He told them in chapter 3 they were foolish for trying to leave the truth of God's grace and go to something else. Some heretic had moved in. Teachers of falsehoods had come in, and some of the folks were mixed up. Paul called them last week foolish over that. And we read in the text, starting in chapter 4, pick it up in verse 13. He says, "You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first." Probably the infirmity of the flesh was Paul's eyesight. Remember, he was saved on the road to Damascus, Acts chapter 9. And the bright light that took his sight away, and then God gave it back to him. But some believe he never got it all back, and that it became a thorn in the flesh to Paul that reminded him all the time how he needed to depend on God. But he's talking about that to the people here at Galatia. He said, "You know how in the weakness of the flesh I preached the gospel to you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus." Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? He said, what happened to those days? Where's it at now? "For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes." That makes me think it was his eyesight. "And have given them to me." Then here's the verse, our text. "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Think on that. Apostle Paul said, "You love me so much, if you could have, you'd give me your own eyes." What's happened to you? Now you treat me like the enemy because I tell you the truth. What a paradox that really is when you think about that. The rejection of the truth. You know, you hear this stuff all the time. You see it happen all the time. If somebody don't like the message, they attack the messenger. When I was a young preacher and first started preaching, I was naive enough to think everybody wanted to hear the truth. And everybody would agree with it. And everybody would love me for it. Boy, what a rude awakening did I get. I've been in more trouble for preaching the truth than anything else I've ever done, I think. And here I'm in good company, though, because here Paul is saying, now you're looking at me as the enemy. What'd I do? I didn't tell you a lie. I didn't deceive you. I told you the truth. So he says simply here, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Attack the messenger. I've often thought about this, how people go in denial, and that's a word we've kind of modernized today. Well, so-and-so's in denial about this or that or the other, and I don't doubt that that happens. You know, have you ever been driving down the road and your gas gauge said empty? Now, you don't like that truth, but you're smart if you don't deny it. Because if you deny it, sooner or later, you'll pay for it down the road. Amen? Can you imagine? Well, a wife says, hey, that thing's showing empty. Well, get the hammer out and break it. I don't like that message. We wouldn't be that stupid, would we? Maybe. Truth is, sometimes truth hurts. As a pastor, I've been in that position many times. I remember, nobody in this building know who I'm talking about for nothing, but one of my best friends in high school days and earlier days. We grew up, went our different ways. We got married and some years went by, and I was in the ministry, in fact, at the church here. And one day he came by to see me from out of state. And he came by for some counseling. And he explained, you know, I knew his wife. I knew when they had gotten married. I knew of it, and he'd been in the military and stuff. But he came by, and he said, you're my friend from way back. He said, I know you're a pastor now, and I want to get some counseling, and I want you to tell me the truth. I said, sure, if I can help. And he sat there, and he described the problems he and his wife seemed to be having. And I listened to it all, and in a little bit, I knew what the problem was. But I debated in my soul, he's not going to want to hear this. He's my friend. I don't want to hurt him. I don't want to, you know, I debated. And I dodged around a little bit, and finally he said, I want you to tell me the truth, what you think. And I finally had to say, well, listen, it's obvious. Any objective person knows your wife is having an affair. She has a boyfriend. Now, he didn't want to hear that. And I could tell immediately, he almost stiffened up like, how dare you? And I thought, have I made an enemy out of telling the truth? You asked me, you begged me, you wanted it, and finally I had to tell you. Well, in a few weeks, he called me. He was in tears, but he said, you were right. You were right. Now, that's sad. He didn't want to hear it. He wanted to deny it, but it didn't change the truth. It didn't change the consequences of the truth. And the truth is there, whether you want to hear it or not. And the person that brings it to you, don't make the enemy out of them. I mean, if it's truth, it is truth. We can joke about it a little bit. I heard about the lady and her husband was out shopping back in the old days, back when you could step on the scales and a little card would come out. Remember those days? Some of you old enough remember those days? Yeah. So she looked at the card, and he could see by her expression she was not happy. He said, what's the matter? Are you a little overweight? She said, no, but according to this card, I'm 6 inches too short. Now, some of you got that, and some of you didn't. But the truth is, sometimes we don't like the truth. But let's be careful we don't make the one that gives us the truth the enemy. That's what was happening to Paul here at the church at Galatia. We look at our present day today, and we see the difference today in what is said and what is true, and we live in the age of deception and all that. And it seems like anymore, they almost want a merit badge for the biggest lie that can be told. No matter how absurd, I heard Mr. Biden say that he was trying to butter up the black folks, and he was saying, you know, how black men invented stuff. Hey, they did. George Washington Carver was a great Christian man, and every time I eat peanut butter, I think about him. Anybody know that George Washington Carver? I mean, I remember when he went before Congress, and he'd had all these things he'd invented, you know, out of the peanut, and they said, Mr. Carver, where did you get these ideas and get this wisdom? He said, well, the God in heaven gave me a book. And one of the congressmen said, I've read the Bible through and through, and I've never seen anything about peanut butter in it. And Mr. Carver said back to him, said, the God that wrote the book told me if I'd ask him for wisdom, he'd give it. Amen. But Mr. Biden said that a black man had invented the light bulb. Now, I bet Thomas Edison's turned over in his grave about that. But it seems like no matter what you tell, if you tell it big enough and if you tell it often enough, it sticks with some folks. And that's what's going on, especially in this political season that we're in today. But you know what? It's common and natural to us humans to want to hear what we want to hear. Did you ever see the old days, some of the cleaner movies? Did anybody remember Maxwell Smart? It was titled Get Smart. Get Smart. And you know how he'd go through all the doors and finally get into the back alley and get on a payphone. I've been in a building like that, by the way, and see, there's all more truth to that than you think. But remember what Maxwell Smart would say? He'd say, don't tell me that. And somebody, he said, I said, not tell me that. In other words, we got a lot of folks like Maxwell Smart. They don't want to hear it. Just don't tell me that. Don't disturb me with the truth. Don't give me the facts. I've already got my mind made up, that sort of thing. I want to say we see that kind of denial everywhere we look today. We see that kind of denial in our own families, kids toward parents. Listen to me, kids. You may not want to hear no, but if no's the truth, you ought to consider the truth. I know we don't like the word no. We want to do this. We want to do that. We want to imagine how it's going to turn out. But parents that love you and care about you, when they say no, they're doing it for your good. And it's the truth that you ought to want to hear. Kids, parents are not your enemies. Paul said to this church here, said, am I your enemy because I told you the truth? Mom and Dad, I want to say to you, you better give the truth, not worrying about what they are going to think about it. You're not necessarily supposed to be your kid's buddy and your pal. You're supposed to be a mom and dad that knows more than them and can direct them better than they can themselves. That's why you're the parents and they're the kids. And the truth is, one day they'll be parents, it'll be their turn. But listen, if you're going to straighten them out and get them going right, you're going to have to know the truth yourself and go by the truth. And the book has the truth in it. It's God's truth. He tells you how to deal with your kids. And all we're missing that today. We're seeing a generation today that missed something growing up. And a lot of it is because the parents that our parents now missed it in their generation. And that's too bad. You know, there's many traps set on the other side by the enemies. You hear me fuss about it. You're going to keep hearing me fuss about it. We send our kids off to universities to have the truth brainwashed out of them. Their faith destroyed. And that's too bad. The brainwashing that goes on there. I heard this week one of the big universities has a course in it that you can go and enroll, and that course by title is How to Overthrow the State. Now you can go get a degree, one of the courses you can take, and what you're seeing is that kind of teaching in the streets right now. I want to tell you, it can be a peaceful protest until the first rock hits the window and it's no longer a protest, it's a riot. It's wrong. It's wrong. And we're seeing that sort of thing going right on right now in our streets. And I've said it so many times, it's no accident. It's a plan. It's finance plan. It's a drawn up plan. And they are saying it themselves. Somebody showed me on the cell phone this morning how that the mob in the street was describing it as a revolution. It's a Marxist revolution. That's what it is. The Black Lives Matter group is a Marxist group. It's not got nothing to do really about black lives, and as we would think, white lives, red lives, they all matter to God. And it's a political Marxist movement, and the whole goal, and they're stating it themselves, is to overthrow America, to destroy our way of government. That's exactly what it's about. Now, you know what? We're looking around and we're seeing what was taught in the classrooms, now in the streets. And we got parents. I'm gonna fuss about this as long as it keeps happening. But my kid needs a college degree. Not at the price of their soul. Not at the price of a revolution to overthrow the country. The truth of the matter is, you can have the degrees to look like a thermometer and die and go to hell with them. That won't help you a bit. Truth of the matter is, if it takes away the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's wrong. We don't have to go along with it to get it. You know, too many don't stand for anything anymore. Once in a while, it's a clear breath of air to see somebody stand for something. You know, all the ball players taking the knee to disrespect the flag. Did you see in the news this week, I don't know who's lost his job or not, did you see where the baseball pitcher was the only one that would not bow the knee when they came out on the field? And they said, why not? He said, I'm a Christian, and I only bow the knee to God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, I like that man. I never met him, but I like him. I like his courage. I like his guts. And the very fact to stand up and own you a Christian, it's a dangerous thing anymore. Isn't that amazing? But he stood up and he said that. And I want to say to you, we've got to take a stand. Did you, you know, a lot of virtual school going on now. I mean, they're going to school online and on the screen and all that. Did you see where some of the teachers were fussing because parents were looking in and listening to what they were teaching the kids? Something wrong when you're ashamed for the parent to know what you're teaching and what you're saying. And I saw where this one teacher said, "My greatest fear is some of these conservative parents are listening in." I thought, you rascal, you ought to be fired. Truth of the matter is, you ought to care what they think. Fearful of what some conservative parent might think when they saw what I'm teaching to the kids. There might be some good come out of that. Now, I'm not for the virtual schooling over going into the building and being in person with a teacher. I think we're really losing something. If everything is going to be moved that way, there's a big mess. And some of you folks, listen to me. I'm glad you're listening in online at the church. But if you got good health, you can be here. And what's going to happen to a lot of good people, they're going to decide, I can sit in my house coat and drink coffee and do all these other things and listen to the preacher, and that's just as good. No, it's not just as good. It is not just as good. This Bible says, assemble yourselves together. It says, forsake it not. And the truth of the matter is, God started the church. He didn't start the TV. He didn't start the online listening. He started the church, and Jesus died for it, and you will be held accountable. You are sending God a message, how you react toward his house, toward his church. Look at this denial of truth we live in today. Oh, we see it everywhere. And it's a denial that the revolution is happening. There's a coup being tried to move against. You know what that means? I mean, to destroy the government and set up another one. That's what it is. And Newsmax magazine, I haven't had time to read it yet, but I saw on the cover. On the cover of it, it has a picture of a statue, and it's a real one. It's a real picture. You may have seen it on TV. A statue on the cover of George Washington. But on that statue, red paint has been smeared on there by the vandals to where it's all messed up. Statue of George Washington. We always call the father of the country and all the good things about George Washington. But there's the picture right on the front of the Newsmax magazine. And the caption says, the caption over there says, counseling out America. Counseling out, destroying it, America. Now, they're telling the truth. There's a movement on to do just that. To counsel out America. Say, what does that mean? I mean to change your lifestyle and mine. Our lifestyle is a free lifestyle. You know that? You know, you could come here volunteer. You didn't have to. Nobody made you this morning. You can get in your car and drive home. You can be mobile. You can move around. But if this crowd comes in, you'll have to have permits to get out of the city limit. If this crowd takes over, you won't even be able to buy fuel like you can now. You'll find out all the restrictions that a lot of foreign countries have been living under on this thing called socialism and communism. Your lifestyle will be changed. And we're only probably this election away from it. That's sad, but it's true. Our freedoms to go to work, freedom to speak, freedom to move around. All of that business is online now, folks, whether you know it or not. I mean, we got a crowd up there that don't want you to eat beef. The cows are polluting the universe. Amen? They're the ones that's talking that way is the polluters. Polluters of our freedom. I mean, that's the kind you can't have fossil fuels. You can't have gasoline. By the way, they're the same ones that get on a big jet that smokes big time and they go across the land. I mean, it's freedom from me, but not thee, so to speak. It's a thing that's going on big time right now. And to get up and tell the truth like I'm telling right now will make me the enemy. Maybe if some of you in this building and some of you on air. Now, most preachers are very concerned about their image. You're looking at one that could care less. So I say what I think is right. And thankfully, most of the folks agree. But if they don't, I've said it so many times, the same door that lets you in, lets you out. You can just escape. Now, we'll know why you're leaving. So be careful. I'm joking with you some, not much. Not much. I'm just telling you, there's a crowd out there that wants to take your freedom away. And it's happening. The social media is censoring everything. Have you noticed? That's why I'm talking to you about stuff in the news. Facebook, Twitter, whatever the rest of the names of those things are out there where you're getting your social messages over. Now, have you noticed they have started censoring the gospel? This week, it was announced Christian ministries had to come off because they were accused, and the gospel does this, they were accused that what we are preaching is conversion therapy. That LGBT crowd, the homosexual crowd, we are saying the gospel of Jesus Christ can make you a new creature. We're saying you can be changed. We're saying you can get out of that dirty sin. We're saying you can be forgiven. And they say that they can't have that on social media. We can't preach that conversion. Well, that's what the gospel's about getting souls converted. Amen. But I mean, that's in the news right now. The truth, they're censoring the truth all off the line. And yes, the gospel that I preach tells you can change. You can get out of that dirty sin. You can get to forgiveness. You can get right with God. And when you get right with God, you'll find it easier to repent of the stuff you don't like to do anyway that you got entrapped in. Amen. They also took the doctors off the line. We had a film here in church. Remember the film where the doctors was talking about the COVID thing and giving us some truth on it? They censored that. In fact, there was two parts to it. We only showed one. They pulled them off the air before we could get to the second part because they said, that's not the accepted thing, Mel. It was accepted by those doctors, and they had all the degrees the rest of them had. By the way, there was a Yale, let me see if I can get this right. There was a Yale professor got in before they censured him this week. And he got in and he said, if the malaria medicine that the president recommended had been given, he said there was thousands of lives that would have been saved. A Yale professor. Now they stopped that quick, but he got the truth in a little bit. Got the truth in a little bit there. And the same medicine, he says it could save 100,000 lives. By the way, see, that's not politically correct. That's a word that's come along in the last few years that I hate. Politically correctness is a way to dodge the truth and not tell the truth and hide the truth. It's what it is. But the CDC, now how many of you know what CDC stands for? That's the big outfit. That is the Center of Disease Control. They're supposed to be the last word. The CDC, you hear it in the news, and the WHO, that's the WHO of the World Health Organization. But the interesting thing was that the CDC came out this week and said anybody that had a bad cold and went to the doctor for a test would probably test positive. Boy, that truth has not been talked much, has it? Huh? But that's the head group that's saying, yeah, that's true. The UN head, the Secretary General of the United Nations, United Nuts, whatever you want to call them, he said the answer to COVID was a global government. Haven't I been saying that's what was behind the whole thing? Well, he admitted it this week. He said that. He said the global answer, that's the only way they're going to control it. They're going to keep COVID alive as long as they can. It'll change some after the election, whichever way the election goes. But the truth is they've got control and they're not letting go of it. And they're going to keep on jerking us around. And like little robots, we line up and say, yes, sir, what do you want me to do next? Well, I want you to wear a mask. Or I wear a mask. I want you to social distance. Okay, we're social distance. Okay, I want you to hang your shoes from your ears. We'll do it. If they say it, we'll do it. We're sick because the truth has been compromised to a place we don't recognize it anymore. Paul said to this church, am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? I gave you the gospel, you turned for it, I corrected you, I told you what was right, and now you make me the enemy for telling you the truth. I can just kind of feel the pain of the old apostle as he said, this is the same crowd that loved me. They'd have plucked out their eyes and give them to me, and now what's happened to them? And that's what we're going to see in Christianity. We're going to find out more and more who really knows the Lord. and who don't as this thing progresses. We're in an age of deception, lie, and twist. Did you hear the president the other night say that he went to the doctor for his checkup? And on the way back from the doctor's office and that entourage of cars, you know, wherever he goes, he has to have the bodyguards and the cars and all that. He said, on the way back from the doctor, the phone rang. It was my wife. She said, how you doing? You all right? He said, well, yeah, I'm just coming back from the doctor. She said, it's on the news. You had a heart attack. Yeah. He said, no, I'm all right. I didn't have a heart attack. But already, just throw it out there. Let it go around. No matter how wild or what it is or how far from the truth it is, just let it go around. And folks, you better watch out. That's happening all the time. They did it to Jesus. They twisted his words. Remember what they accused him of? When he stood before Pilate, they accused him of many things. One of the things was he said he'd tear down the temple and build it back in 3 days. Well, my. He was talking about not the block temple, not Solomon's temple. They knew what he was talking about, but they thought if they throw it out there, they smear him with it. They twist it. That's still what's going on with the evil minds and hearts today. The truth being perverted. But you know what's more serious? The denial of the gospel truth. The Galatians didn't want to hear it. Here's what it amounts to. Paul was telling them, you're saved by grace. You can't earn it. You're not good enough. Now, these Jews were those in Judaism that worked and earned their way and offered the sacrifices. And they were very proud of the way they dressed. They were very proud of their offerings. They were very proud of being religious. And they were hurt when somebody said, that don't count. The only way you can be saved is by grace. Something you can't earn. Something you didn't do to get saved, but something done for you when Jesus died on the cross. That's the gospel of grace. And you know what I found out? There's still an animosity toward that today. I found a lot of religious people today are very offended, very insulted when we say all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When we say there's none righteous, no, not one. No, you're not righteous enough to go to heaven by yourself. It don't matter what family you were born into. It don't matter what color you might be. It don't matter how wealthy or poor you might be. My friend, you can't make it by yourself. And that's what the Bible teaches. None are righteous, and that offends some folks. They don't like to hear that. Well, yes, I know Jesus died for me, but I got to help him out. No, he died for all your sins, past, present, future. He died for all of them. And if you don't trust him completely, you're not saved, my friend. If you're trusting a little bit of you and a lot of him, that won't do it. Truth is, it's all him. All him. All to him. That's the truth. And it's a serious problem like they had here at Galatia. They didn't want to accept that. Man still is very proud. The devil himself fell by his very pride. I remember when we was building either this building or one of the buildings here on the property many years ago. We had workers out. Some of them were Christian, and some were not, here or there. I'd been somewhere, and I come back on the job, and there was some kind of building inspector. I don't remember what he was inspecting, but he came up to me, and he was offended. He was mad. I said, what happened? He said, so-and-so, and he pointed to a man. I could give his name right now. That man told me he's going to heaven. And I'm not, because I'm not receiving Christ. And I'm offended by that. Now, here's what he meant. He meant he's better than me. He's saying he's gooder than me. I'm not good enough. And in fact, the man gave him the verse, none righteous, no one, not one. And he was jumping on me because I had a worker. I let him steam for a minute, and I said, that man's right. You don't deserve to go to heaven. The only way you're going to get there is by grace. I mean, he may have failed what he was inspecting, but we told him the truth. But his pride was hurt. Somebody up here is saying they're better than me. No, we're not better than you personally, but with Jesus, we stand forgiven as a sinner. Without Jesus, you're a sinner and you're not forgiven. You can't earn your own way. I remember that very, very, very well. And I remember a man early years when I first came. His wife was a good church member. She came to church, but he hated it. She made him bring her. I don't know if she refused to cook for him if he didn't or what. But he had to bring her to church. But now he wouldn't come in. But he sat out on the parking lot to my left. It was the old building. And when I'd preach a little long, and I know some of you can't believe this, but I have a time or two preached a little long. And he'd blow the horn. You'd hear the horn blowing out in the parking lot. I thought maybe he was saying amen. No, I didn't. I knew what he was doing. I remember going to his house, and he just jumped all over me, and here's what he said. Used some pretty bad words, too. You think you're better than me. You think those folks down there in church are better than me. And I tried to explain, no, it's by the grace of God that we can say we're saved. Tried to explain the truth to him. No, he wouldn't have it. And I've been thrown out of very few places, and he didn't physically throw me out, but he got up and opened the door and wanted me to leave, and of course I left. But she'd still make him bring her to church. One Sunday morning, not too long after that, I got a call right after church. He had started bringing her to church, and he started having chest pains. They whipped into a 7-Eleven store for him to get some digestive pills. Before he could get out of the car, he died and fell over the steering wheel. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm not sure the part God played in that, but that man had more than one chance to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he rejected it. He had his pride. He didn't want somebody to be putting him down. We're not putting you down. We're telling you all of us are sinners and we're saved by grace, and you're not going to be saved any way except by the grace of God. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. Yes, all have sinned. You say, well, the good I do, don't it count for something? It counts after you've been to the cross, but not before. You can't offer it to God for salvation. He'll reward your works later, after you're saved, but not before. Let me see if I can give you an illustration. Turn this mic on right here, PA, please. The scripture says, most everybody knows this, the scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None righteous, no, not one. I want you to imagine with me. I'm standing on the top step right here. I want you to imagine that this is a great big canyon down here, very deep. And very far to the other side, we'll let the back pew represent it. Maybe it's a mile. And I'm standing here. There's a whole crowd of people here. And we need to get across because the fire is coming behind us. Now, I want to ask you something. Can anybody jump from here to the other side if it's a half mile or a mile? Can they jump? No. No human can do that. But now, wait a minute. We can all come up here, and some will just fall in. They won't go very far. Some others will jump a little further, but they'll still go down too. And maybe a young, healthy man that's been practicing track, and maybe he jumped even to that third pew there, but he's going down too. No man can jump the gap. There's a gap, a sin gap. You can't jump it. I don't care who you are, how good you've been, what religion you belong to, you can't jump the gap. You're all going down. All have sinned. All have come short. There is none righteous, no, not one. You can't do it. Some may jump further than you. There's some people better than you, far as being a better neighbor, doing better works, but they're still going to hit the bottom. They can't jump across that sin gap. Only Jesus can make a bridge across. I go all the way to the other side in Jesus, not by myself. Do you understand that? That's what the scripture says when it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'll come short. This guy may go a little further, but he'll be short. Another one may go a little further, but he'll be short. But Jesus went all the way. And in him I can go all the way. Are you in him? Is he your Savior? When I come up to the sin gap, I don't have to try my own strength to jump. He made it for me. Is he your Savior? Have you heard he died for your sins on the cross? Have you believed on him, received him as your Lord and Savior? That's the only way you're going to span the gap to get to God, is through Jesus, his Son. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, should not fall in, should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm glad I'm going all the way to the other side, because he's the one that's taking me over. I'm not trusting me. Well, the best jumper you can ever find can only jump a little ways, and he's going down. If you're real full of pride, I'll make it by myself. You won't make it. You may make it further than somebody else, but you're still going down. You need a substitute. You need a bridge. You need one that's going all the way for you. And that's what Jesus has done. You understand that? When we ask you to leave that seat and come receive Christ as Savior, we're asking you to take the only way to get across. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Do you have him? You're not going to get to the Father any other way. Do you have him? Do you know him? Is he your Savior? I pray you know him. Would you bow your heads with me this morning, please? We're going to have an invitation. That invitation is to come receive Christ. I want you to think with me a minute. Do you understand you're looking at that gap that no man can jump across? Do you understand that? Do you understand the only way you can get to the Father is through somebody that crossed that gap for you? He came from the other side. His death on the cross, paying for your sins, made a bridge for you to come back, a way for you to come back to the Father. Do you understand that? You can come back to him this morning. Jesus said, whosoever will may come. That's by grace. By grace. You don't deserve it, but he'll give it to you as a gift if you let him be your Savior today. Would you stand with me, please? Father, we come to you in prayer. We commit the invitation to you. Father, the Apostle Paul seemed to have his feelings hurt because he said, am I your enemy because I told you the truth? Or are you mad at me because I told you the truth? I fear some of them might have been. I've seen that myself, Father. But, oh, I thank you, Father, that we do know the truth, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by him. And, Father, we have to keep telling that over and over to get folks to understand how you loved them and made a way of grace that they can come in your presence and have their sins forgiven. I pray you'd bless the invitation even now. Speak to hearts. And as we sing a song, invite men, women, boys, and girls to come, that some would come this morning. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're saying, will you come? Will you come? We'll meet you right here. We can take a Bible and show you how you'd be saved and know it. Would you come as we sing?
Just as I am.
As others come, will you come?
One plea,
will you come?
But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
As we sing, will you come?
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. I come.
You know, we sang that song, we called it an invitation song. O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am. That's the grace way, it's the only way. You don't come and present a long bunch of deeds and works you've done. You just come and say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, and save me for Jesus' sake. You just come asking for grace. Grace is the something we get that we don't deserve, something somebody else paid for. I hope you understand that. You'll never have peace in your heart until you understand salvation by grace. Because if you think you're trying to be good enough, you'll always go to sleep every night knowing you were not good enough. You'll not have peace until you trust His goodness that died for you on the cross. Seems like it would be so simple. I graduated high school in this town. I grew up. I read every book, I think, in the library. It wasn't much of a library in those days, probably. But I didn't understand the gospel, never heard the gospel. And I always suffered under the false illusion, you got to be good to go to heaven. And I knew I was not good, so I never had any peace. And then I went into church like this and heard a preacher preach as I do. And he preached the grace of God. And I thought it's just too good to be true. Too good to be true. But the more I heard, the more the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. And I realized God loved me enough to pay the way I couldn't pay. Man, that was a great victory. I've had peace ever since. It's been a long, long time. Peace ever since. Somebody else paid it that could pay it. I couldn't. Oh, that's the best news. All right, we'll let you be seated and we'll share with you here.